You're listening to SBS News.
We are in the race between two factors. One is the human ecosystem's capacity to adapt, and the other one is the speed of impact of climate change.
That's a warning from Ho Sung Lee, chair of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, speaking at the release of the United Nations Agency's latest report. Compiled by over 100 scientists from 36 countries, the report documents the implications of warming oceans, fast-melting ice sheets, and shrinking glaciers for the more than 1.3 billion people who live in low-lying or high-mountain regions. Dr. Kathleen McInnes is one of the report's co-authors and a senior research scientist at Australia's government science agency, the CSIRO. She says it's the first time there's been a really focused assessment of how those aspects of the climate system are changing.
What we're finding is that not only is there rapid change going on, but it's also accelerating. So, for example, we're now seeing sea levels that have increased in the rate of rise to about 3.6 millimetres per year over the last decade or so. We're seeing much higher ocean temperatures. We've seen a doubling of marine heat waves since about 1982. And so a whole lot of events in the ocean are really starting to change very rapidly.
The report references 7,000 scientific publications and finds the ocean is becoming warmer, more acidic, and less productive. It says melting sea caps and glaciers could raise sea levels by 30 to 60 centimetres by the end of the century if global warming is limited to 2 degrees Celsius. And if pollution rates continue on current trends, levels could rise by more than a metre. Dr. McInnes explains some of the impacts of rising sea levels.
Wave climate is changing, particularly in the Southern Ocean. The height of waves is increasing, and of course that impacts us through swell waves that impact our coastlines, which are already in many places experiencing erosion. So a combination of even higher sea levels with even higher wave heights is not good news.
She says Australia's coastal communities could face extreme flooding at least once a year by 2050, when previously they were once in a century events.
With more frequent extreme events occurring in shorter succession, it doesn't give society enough time or, you know, communities enough time to recover before they're hit by another, you know, impactful event. So, you know, this starts to stress communities, it stresses economics.
The report's release comes as world leaders meet at the United Nations in New York. Speaking before the UN General Assembly, Prime Minister Scott Morrison said Australia will deliver on its climate change commitments. He says if anything, the country will probably exceed its emissions reduction targets set out in the Paris Agreement.
The argument is no longer about whether you need to take action on climate change. That argument has settled in Australian politics in terms of the major parties. The issue is how governments responsibly manage and balance those commitments to secure Australia's future. And that's what our government is doing. See, we're quite transparent about this. We say what we're going to do. We put the policies in place to achieve it. And then we achieve it. And you know what? We better it.
Joseph Moiono-Coleo is Greenpeace's head of Pacific. He says as one of the primary producers of coal, Australia needs to do more to tackle climate change.
The federal government really does need to pull out its head out of the sand and commit to phasing out all coal-fired power stations and roll out a plan to rapidly accelerate the transition to 100% renewable energy.
It's a sentiment echoed by Australian Conservation Foundation Chief Executive Kelly O'Shaughnessy.
For so long, scientists have been telling us that the world is warming. They're telling us that our oceans are warming and that this will lead to more bleaching of our reefs, more heat waves and more El Ninos, which fuel bushfires. So we know we've got a climate problem. We actually know the solutions to them. I just wish we would get on with it.
Joseph Moiono-Coleo says the report makes it clear the climate emergency is already intensifying.
For the Pacific particularly, it's a huge crisis because with sea level rise comes with increasing king tides and storm surges, which is already underway, and it's, you know, posing an increasing risk to our cultures, our food, our access to, you know, food supply, our livelihoods, and, you know, as a whole to our history and our cultures as a people.
He says the Kiribati government has already purchased property in Fiji, so its climate refugees have somewhere to go.
We don't want to migrate to and leave our islands, but, you know, the reality is some already have because it's no longer viable to live and prosper in their own homeland. And then for the countries that are receiving climate-induced refugees, you know, that poses huge risks for them as well, like having an influx of people, particularly for people in Australia and New Zealand. And the risk is also displacing Indigenous communities from their land to make room for others.
He says what's happening in the Pacific right now is a preview of what Australia and the rest of the world will face. Kathleen McInnes says it's vital coastal communities invest in adapting their infrastructure to withstand unavoidable sea level rise, if they aren't already.
It's more cost effective to adapt than be constantly responding to the aftermath of extreme events when they occur. So it will cost, but the costs of doing nothing are far higher.
Amy Hall, SBS News.